Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Black Law and Legalize, where we specialize in the legal truth, damn it. My name is Dan. You can catch me on Twitter and on IG at I Am Dan on Drugs. Keep up with the show across all social media platforms at Black Law Podcast. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined today by a special guest. No other than you guys might have heard of her in the streets, in these streets out here.
Streets.
And these streets is real. It gets real out there. Killer Baby J.
Man, you in these streets killing people?
Killer Baby J.
You just said just a little bit. Nah, son. Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell
no. I ain't no killer. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Shit, me.
Thank you very much. Very much.
Oh,
I'm sorry. And I'm just Dan. And you can follow me on Twitter at I Tell Legal Lies. I believe that that's the truth. Also, did you introduce yourself?
I've introduced everybody, told them about our guest from the streets.
And I was in the zone. I was zapped out just slightly. So.
Drugs.
Shut up. No, that's you. Today, family, we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about a subject that we've brought up before. And we've pulled Killer Baby J in to see if she has any thoughts, any impressions about this particular topic. So the topic that we are going to talk about is palimony.
Palimony.
So palimony is a term of art. It's not really a legal term. There is no legal definition of palimony. It is actually a phrase that was coined back in the 70s by this slick ass lawyer out of the state of California. Telling you, boy, big ups to California once again for all of its progressiveness. But so it is the combination of alimony, which is a legal function or a legal term, and pal, as in old buddy, old pal, old. Yeah.
So basically, it's like a fuck buddy that you got to pay alimony to.
Almost, but not quite. So literally, palimony stems from this case. Y'all know who Lee Marvin is?
I know who Lee Harvey Oswald is.
You know what? Never mind. You know who Lee Marvin is? So Lee Marvin was this actor.
Okay.
You know, a quite good actor back in the day.
Probably before my time.
It was before my time too. But you probably seen Lee Marvin, just don't know what he looks like. But anyway, as I was saying, back in the day, Lee Marvin was something like a dick, apparently. He had been in a relationship with this woman for a very long time. They were not married. And but they had kids together, lived together in the semblance of husband and wife for years. And they had a falling out. Lee Marvin kicked her out straight up with nothing. Like, he, you know, he was the breadwinner. She stayed home, took care of the kids. Just get out, damn spot. That was a wrap. So what she did was she hired herself high-priced attorney. And that attorney, as I said, coined this phrase palimony, like, yeah, we weren't married, but there were certain agreements that were made. And because of the sacrifice that she made and how they purported or presented themselves to be, she is entitled to something.
Mm-hmm.
And lower court said, nope. They took it to appeals court. Appeals court sent it back down to the lower court. They overturned the nope, sent it back down for a trial on the merits of the case. And at the end of the day, she got some money. So that is where this thing started. And ever since, the crazy thing is, there are some states that actually recognize an action, not for palimony, but an action or a cause of action under other.
Hold on. I'm sorry. I'm reading up on who he was.
Lee Marvin?
Yeah. And so he was married in 1952. Wait, hold on. I just had it. Yeah, it was 58. He was somewhere in there. He was married while he had this living girlfriend. So the living girlfriend, her name was Michelle Triola.
Mm-hmm.
Changed her last name
to
Marvin. Mm-hmm. Although the couple never married, she sought financial compensation similar to that available to spouses under California's alimony and community property. Mm-hmm. I didn't know California was community property state. But that's kind of weird. How you got a whole wife over here, but then you got a girlfriend that, a move-in girlfriend that changed her last name to your last name.
But think about it, because back in the day,
I'd have kicked her ass out right then and there, bitch. No.
But you know, but he did. That's what I said.
No, I'm talking about as soon as she told me I'm changing my last name, even though they, get the fuck out of here. You no, crazy.
He literally kicked the woman out without a quarter. So, but you think about it, back in the day, and you're talking about he got married in 58.
Mm-hmm.
This palimony action thing started, I think, 1976. He lived with this woman.
71.
I wanna say they were together for like 10 years or something like that.
65 to 70. Five years.
So literally, you held yourself out to be married. You have children with this woman. But you know, back in the day, people didn't really get divorced. Think about it. Like, they just separated and went their separate ways and got with the next dude or got with the next chick and had children.
She didn't have any children.
I thought they did have children together.
She got pregnant 3 times. The actor paid for 2 abortions. What the fuck was an abortion in 1960s? Was that like punch a bitch in the stomach or something?
No, it was not.
Like, damn. But 2 abortions, and then the second abortion left her unable to bear children. The result was the landmark of the palimony case.
Right.
She got paid $104,000 in 79, which is like 8 for rehab. Oh, wait. Interesting. Wow. So in 1979, Marvin was ordered to pay $104,000 to Triola for rehabilitation purposes.
Right.
But the court denied the claim.
Right. In the end, I think.
The community property claim. Okay.
Right. Well, in the end, from what further research showed, I don't actually think she got any money. Like, by the time it was all said and done, she really didn't get paid what she sought. She may have gotten some money from Lee Marvin for something else, but this set a precedent, though, that other people later used to get paid. Now, palimony in the state of California, there are other states that actually have laws that act something like palimony. But let me say this. If you are living in the state that recognizes common law marriages, which California does not, the state of Louisiana does not. But if you are in a state that does recognize common law marriage, that is basically effective as to things like alimony and child support and separation of property, as if you were actually married legally. So palimony would actually be like alimony or child support or separation of property in that case. As I said, California is not one of these states that actually recognizes common law marriage, but for themselves. But they will recognize common law marriage if you're moving from California, from a state that recognized it, to California, in the sense that if you then decide that you want to divorce your husband, you can be granted alimony, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So
let's bring in Killer Baby J. What you think about this subject? Do you think that the side piece should get some money if the side piece is just a side piece that's with somebody famous?
Man, we're not even talking about just famous people. That's just from an everyman perspective.
Well, there's layers. It's going to peel it back like an onion.
Like an onion?
Yeah.
He said, yeah. No, I don't think she should get no money. You're a side piece.
Wait, what?
I don't think side pieces deserve money.
Man, do you realize what this woman went through?
Again, you're just a side piece.
No, you're not a side piece. Actually, you wasn't no side piece. You were with this man for 5 years. You changed your last name to Marvin. You had 3 babies.
Real life babies?
Real life babies. One was miscarried. One, you got an abortion. Two aborted.
So she had
no real life babies.
But still, you were pregnant for this man 3 times. Like I said, changed your last name to Marvin. Gave up your acting/singing career to stay at home.
Hold on. Did she change her last name because she wanted to? Or did she change her last name because that is an agreement that they both had?
Well, from what I understand, they made an agreement for him to take care of her for the rest of her life because she gave up these different things.
But was in order the last name a part of that?
Because it may have been.
Hold on. Some females think just because we spend years and years together and we, quote unquote, live in one household, I'm obligated to change my last name to your last name. You're not obligated to change your last name.
No, you're absolutely right. But in that same scenario, you say they spend years and years and years. And that's it. We spend years and years and years together. And then we break up. Am I not allowed, or am I not, equitably speaking, am I not entitled to something?
I don't think you should be.
Why not?
Because it's all right. So you got the community property aspect, right?
If we but the thing is, you don't have community property because you're not married.
Right. Well, I'm saying if you and I bought into something together, right? Mm-hmm. You're entitled to half of whatever you and I purchased together. Aside from that, no.
All right. So we made an agreement for me to stay at home and to take care of the household. So say prior to meeting you, I had a career. But then I meet you and you decide you want me to be a housewife.
You don't. So that's on you. You're bad.
No, wait. So you decide you want me to be a housewife and we discuss this. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the discussion, we make this decision. You're going to go to work. I'm going to stay at home and take care of house and hearth. All right. So then we start having children. I take care of the home. I cook the food. I take care of the children. I perform all the duties that a wife and a mother would necessarily perform. And at the end of the day, say 10 years down the line, we decide to split. So,
okay,
I have been a housewife and a mother
understood.
For 10 years.
I understand. You had a thriving career prior to, right? So I'm going to tell you something about men that I'm sure a lot of women out here listening are very knowledgeable about. We will tell y'all any fucking thing. So basically, if I want you to stay at home and be a housewife, oh, yeah, I got you. I'm going to take care of you. Da, 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 da. Don't worry. You ain't got to work. You ain't got to worry about nothing. I'm going to take care of you.
But you know what that's called, America?
Fuck that verbal contract.
No. It's not called a verbal contract. It's called a contract.
Well, listen. Okay. So I tell you, I don't know. Back then, women were like seamstresses or something. You're a seamstress. World-renowned seamstress. So now you stay.
World-renowned?
Yeah. Now you're staying at the house and you washing my bathtubs and stuff, right? And I tell you that I'm going to take care of you. Just don't sweat it. I'm going to take care of you. Yeah, I'm going to take care of you while you're there. The moment you are not there any longer, my obligations have been fulfilled.
Apparently not. Because under these group of laws that are recognized in these states, equity would demand that if I stop working and you're the one making the money, and that is how it has been for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, and all of a sudden, we grow apart and it's time for us to separate. Even though I have marketable skills, I don't have...
You were world renowned at one
point. I don't have
point.
Anything to start off with right now. So the whole purpose... Let's go back to alimony. The whole purpose of alimony...
I can get why alimony.
In the state of Louisiana, but it's the same concept.
No, it is not.
It is.
Because...
It's the same
way,
concept.
The way...
The purpose of alimony... Wait, let me finish. The purpose of alimony... is to initially keep me in the lifestyle to which I have grown accustomed. Because I have a need. You make more money than I do because I'm not making any money.
Mm-hmm.
I have a need. And like temporary alimony, the purpose of it is to keep me in the lifestyle to which I am accustomed. That's in the state of Louisiana.
Finish. I'm going to, but then I need clarification before you continue. That is, if you elect to get married, correct?
Alimony is between married couples.
Okay, continue.
But as I've said, there are laws in states that recognize that even though you are not married, under equitable concepts, you still would be entitled to, that's where these palimony laws come from, you still would be entitled to payments to help sustain you until you get on your feet, until you can make your way in the world again.
See, but that sounds like some bullshit, because if it's anything like, let's look at our welfare system, right?
Mm-hmm.
if I'm paying you palimony, alimony, or any type of money, if I'm paying that to you and it is enough for you to live on, why would you be, as we know, what does she say? Why would there be any
incentive?
No, that's the real word. I was looking for the other one. But why would you have any incentive in actually getting on your feet if you can live off of my money?
No, and you would, because
Britney Spears' husband, K-Fed.
Okay, wait. Once again, you would.
He got fat.
You would have incentive because the way some things are structured, this is not for life. This is not until you die. This is not until you remarry. This is for a set period of time, and or it's for a lump sum of money. So this is not something that is going to last you a lifetime.
I'm sorry. I just don't believe in that unless you are married. If you're I can understand because that's your wife, or whether she has children, those are your children.
You still have children with this woman.
Not in the
Lee Marvin situation, but
I will pay child support gladly, but I ain't paying you a damn dime just because you had lived with me and cleaned my toilets.
Wait, why not? Because like I said,
was your choice.
The concept, this is an agreement that we made.
You agreed on your own.
We agreed together. You said, no. I am going to take care of you.
And
what I want you to do is stay at home and take care of the kid.
Did I?
So because you have basically impeded my ability.
I ain't impede shit. You
impeded my ability to earn a living. I did not go work outside the home. So now, 10 years later, here do I have marketable skills?
Ladies and gentlemen. I would just, before we toss it to Killer Baby J, right? I would like to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say it like this. Men, we do have to work, and we have to work really hard for a lot of our money. Mm. If you are a broke woman who has a functional vagina, you should not be broke. So that's your fault. Okay.
You know what?
Killer Baby J.
I don't know what the hell you just said.
I know what I said.
I've heard that before. If
you are a broke woman with a working vagina, you should not be a broke woman.
Make it work for you.
He's
saying that if it works, you should never be broke within your life.
So once again, prostitute yourself.
If you want to use that term.
No, that is the term.
I wouldn't use that term.
Because I believe in a past episode, I've said that it's all prostitution, right? Because it there's always a cost. If it's dinner, movie.
Call it what you want.
It's all a cost. But here is where equity plays in. If we had an agreement, if we have agreed amongst ourselves to do a certain thing, at the end of the day, you need to stick to that agreement. Yes, you have taken care of me. Now we want to separate. You need to continue until I can get on my feet. Because guess what? The minute that we separate, I have these kids. You still have your job. You're still making money. What am I making?
Give me the kids and
What am I making? Even then, what am I making? Where's my source of income?
I just told you where it was.
In my vagina.
Mm-hmm. And we know ain't nobody paying for yours.
No, baby, they've paid in plenty. So thank you. But anyway, moving on, as I said, because we've had this agreement, same concept apply. Exact same concept. You agreed to take care of me, continue to take care of me until I get to the point where I can take care of myself. Courts will recognize this.
I don't have, me personally, let me speak for myself. I don't have that trust in people. I don't have, much like I look at the child support system and I say, damn. Yo, actually, I should, there's a pay stub going around now on social media. This dude makes $18.50 an hour. He has four children. His income was $1,600 per paycheck. And then it has the child support deductions, right? $280 for one kid, $270 for another kid. $250. Yeah. And it's like the dude gets $116 out of his $1,600 paycheck.
Okay, you chose.
To me, well, yeah, he chose. But to me, I'm looking at it like, again, I don't trust people. I would rather, if I have to spend that money on these children, I would rather spend the money on these children. And it's not even a dollar amount that bothers me. It's I don't trust people. I don't trust you.
Right. But you know, there's a mechanism. There's a mechanism for that.
Yeah. Like an escrow type of situation.
No, there's an accounting function in Louisiana law. There is an accounting function as far as child support is concerned. Most people don't take advantage of that. But if you do not believe that your children are being taken care of with the money that you're providing, ask for an accounting.
Do you have to claim? I should know the answer to this, and I probably do, but it's slipping my mind. Do you have to claim child support as a source of income when you file your taxes?
No.
So essentially, you can be on government assistance and have enlist your income as zero and that be recognized, all while I'm paying you $500 a month. You're getting welfare vouchers, food stamps, housing, child care vouchers.
How much do you think it costs to raise a child? You think $500 a month, go get it?
That's not the point.
That is the point.
No, listen.
No, I heard what you said.
You're not listening. If you were listening, I'm asking, can the mother be on welfare and the welfare people not acknowledge the money that I'm sending to the child's mother?
And as far as welfare is concerned, there's a difference. Like, all sources of income should be reported. But here's the thing. If someone is paying you $500 for your child, do you think that $500 a month is enough for your child to live?
For my child to live, yes.
For your child to live.
For mine to live, yes. For others, maybe not. But for
So how much does it cost to rent an apartment?
I'm not renting an apartment, so
How much did it cost when you rented?
It varies anywhere from $475 up to $1,100
per month, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so your child has to have a roof over their head.
We've been through this song and dance many times on this show.
Exactly right. But so $500 a month is not enough.
As Becky could testify. I like to call a witness. Becky could testify. I am the cheapest motherfucker that anybody knows, and I can make money stretch.
Okay, so once again,
my child will be okay on $500
stretch when you have to pay $475 a month for?
Because I can afford it.
Okay, so here we go. You pay $475 a month for an apartment.
No, let's use my house right now. Mortgage is about $1,200-$1,300.
Exactly.
Okay.
So
I can afford it.
But you pay $500 a month for this child.
I actually would pay less.
Nah, you actually wouldn't.
I would. My current bills, and we've been through this before, but my current bills would be the exact same with the addition of a child. Sure, I'd be paying for child items such as clothes, maybe a little more food, but $500? No,
I'm saying sending that to the child's mother.
No, I'm talking about a child living with me.
No, I'm talking about we're talking at cross purposes again. That's where
the miscommunication is. Correct. I'm talking about my child living with me. My expenses per month would not increase by $500.
Right, it wouldn't change because you have to live, so you're paying
exactly.
For this. You
exactly.
have to eat, so you're paying for food.
Exactly.
But I specifically am talking about, you said about the child being sent, the child's mother being sent $500.
No, you just asked.
And the child's mother being on welfare. No, that's what you were saying.
No, you didn't specify. You asked, do you think it costs $500 a month?
After your scenario was, so this woman is getting $500 from you, yet she is on welfare and X, Y, and Z. And my comment was, do you think $500 is enough? That's why this woman is on welfare and other assistance, because $500 a month cannot sustain her, child and herself.
I need you to check it right quick. And then we're going to toss it to Killer Baby J. If she's on welfare, she's not paying $1,300, $1,200, $475. She's paying.
If she's on housing assistance.
She's paying $9.50 a month for rent.
If she's on housing
assistance. She's getting about $600 in food stamps.
If she's on SNAP.
She's getting child care vouchers.
If she's actually eligible for that. But let me tell you something. Once again, in Dan's twisted view of the world.
I mean, I have no experience in this. I know people who've gone through situations. I have no personal experience.
Most single parents, single mothers are out there working.
I would hope so.
They are. But here it is, you know, they have these baby daddies that mm-hmm. they've put on child support, and these baby daddies resent sending money to support their children. So you know what they do? These baby daddies
change jobs frequently.
Right.
Yeah.
They either change jobs or they stop working.
I would,
or they're working under the table. So they're living.
I got two things too. But I would resent child support, because in my mind, at least, and maybe my mind is twisted,
it is,
the mother of my child and I, no matter whatever happened between us that caused us to part ways,
mm-hmm.
we have a child together. I would think that we would be able to cordially come to an agreement that does not include the courts.
And that is exactly what...
And wait. And you know me. You know me personally. Let me finish. You know me personally. You know the type of person I am. Do you consider me to be a fair person when it comes time, when it matters?
I guess.
See, and that's how, if I'm going to have a child with you, we're having a child together, I would love to think that no matter what the case may, this bitch could go cheat. And you know what? At the end of the day, ain't about that. It's about
the
this
child.
So,
right. But you know what?
We don't need to get the courts
and
involved.
And that is
100%. I would resent it.
That is 100%. I guarantee you what most people want. Because, you know, as I said, you, and not only you, there are a lot of people who have a skewed vision of single mothers in the child support system. 100% what most women who are raising these children want is for the father to participate, and by participation, not just monetarily. They want, now there are a few who are schizo and they see the child as a weapon. I mean, we know some people who have baby mamas like that. We've had episodes where we've spoken to them.
Killer Baby J, how many times have you heard this? Have you heard, if this nigga don't do so and so, I'm putting him on child support?
But here's the thing. Yes, lots of things in the law have been weaponized. That is true. But the majority of women out there want to amicably co-parent with a father, or the non-domiciliary father, or the non-domiciliary mother. They want to do that amicably. They would prefer to have to hash this out amongst themselves and not get the court involved. But there are some, as I said, out there who have weaponized child support, and they are like, I'm going to make sure that, you know, I'm weaponizing my child, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to make him pay because he done went out and got Becky and not with me and his child or his children. But there are a lot of fathers out there who are runaways. Like, that's your baby. It's not mine.
I know people like
and
that
you,
too.
And I'm not paying for these babies. Once again, I know personally, somebody had a very good job,
mm-hmm.
was making very good money, got divorced or in the process of divorce, realized that with this good job, they would have to pay a certain amount of money in child support to support their child. Not that the mother was also paying her part to support this child, but needed, because what the court does is the court looks at the way that the child's lifestyle, period. And out of everybody in any sort of action, the child is the innocent. Or the children is the innocent.
If I'm providing this child with this lifestyle, and this is something I truly would love to see more of. Now, if I'm providing this child with this lifestyle, child stays with me, because typically we see.
No, it's
wait,
not.
Wait. Typically we see the child go with the mother.
Right. But it's not. It's a joint effort. Because right. See, this is what.
But
this
that,
is what.
All I'm saying is I would like to see more children stay with the fathers. We had CEO Hayes on the show.
Right.
And he talked
about how he wanted to keep his child.
Yeah, he has his kids
right.
with him now.
But,
we look
but
at.
But you know what? That is an anomaly.
Right. But what I'm saying is I would love to see the courts say, hey, yo, nigga, you. Yeah, you. These kids yours.
Yeah, but the problem comes in, and you see, this is where the problem comes in with that. What the court is going to do is what they think is
best
in
for the child,
the
yeah.
best interest of the child. And if the mother, see, that's why I tell, get involved with your children. Because if you are actually the person who is doing homework, taking them back and forth to school, cooking, doing a little cleaning, X, Y, and Z, if you are involved in your child's life, the court is more apt to say, okay, well, y'all co-parented, so I can't say that the mother did more than the father did. So maybe the father gets the child. But having said that, when I say the mother works, the father works, they both contribute to the lifestyle that the child has. So what the court does is when y'all split up, we want to keep this child in that lifestyle. So you all both are going to continue contributing to that child's lifestyle. But what most men do is, oh no, I'm about to give this bitch my money. Because it's no longer, this is for my child's benefit. This is, I'm sending that bitch a check and right. She go use my money and I ain't having that. So I
would resent that myself as well.
Personal experience.
It's true though. In some cases, most mothers does that.
Do what?
They take the child support money and spend it on themselves. Case in point, the chick that I work with, Habib Dane, is in I think it's like $650 in child support.
Damn.
She takes care of herself before she takes care of their child. Her child live with her mother. She's not doing nothing for that child.
See, like I said, that right there is the quintessential view that most people have of single mothers.
Okay, so that's one person. Do you know any more people that are in similar situations? You don't got to call them out, but
I know a lot of people in those situations. But I mean, it's not always the motherhood does it. Sometimes it's the fathers. But in my case, it's more mothers than fathers, because I know some good men out here that take care of their kids. Well, send money to their children, mm-hmm. and the mamas take care of themselves and the best friends. And
okay, but wait, but watch this. You said send money to their children.
Well, I'm gonna use me. When I was getting child support and I was still in school, I didn't see my child support. My mama took my child support.
But did you see your daddy?
Yeah.
Often?
Every time I went by my grandma, so like every summer.
Man, that sounds like my life.
So every summer is when, but did he actively seek you out outside of summer months? See, and that's
before it slips my mind. We know how in our community fatherless households are is kind of the standard. How do you think? Because I've never asked a woman this. How do you think not having a father in the house, or did your mother remarry? Did you have a man in the house?
I had a man in my life. But, okay. I mean, I think when a father is not in the household. My household was good before my mama remarried. My mama was a strong black woman. She did everything a man did. You know, she had two jobs. She took care of a household. She took care of my grandma. She took care of everything. So I didn't know my stepdad until I was like 5 years old.
Gotcha.
So that was the ultimate father figure in my life until I got 18, and then they parted their ways. But he's always done his duty in paying. Gee, here goes some money. Him and my mom wasn't together, but he picked me up from school. He did this, he did that. So that would always be daddy.
You see, and so I consider that a real man.
Father, not having the biological father in the household, what do you think that affected you in any way growing up?
Because she still had a father figure in my life. She didn't feel the gap.
I want to hear from more women though, because we always hear how it affects men, because as much as it's kind of a cliche, it takes a man to raise a man. Some things women just aren't equipped. They try their best. And I mean, I was raised by a single mother myself, but some things women aren't equipped.
Well, because, you know, it's stuck in their head. If we don't have a father figure in our lives, then the younger we are, that's when we go out and we have sex and we get pregnant. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't have I had a father figure, but it wasn't in my household. I didn't go out and have sex.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... I did more of beating the boys up than I did being
Jay
with them.
Jay was a tomboy.
Killer baby Jay.
I don't think that it's right for people to say, oh, because we didn't have a father figure in our life, that's why I'm 16 and now I got two children. That's not true. That's because you was just being nasty.
that's the excuse that we try to use. But to go back to what Dan said, statistics speak, and studies have shown that there is actually some sort of connectivity between single parent households. And it's basically because mama or daddy, whoever the parent in the household is, they're working to provide. So these children literally raise themselves. That, you know, they don't have the structure.
We become adults a lot just quicker. Black right. people in general, right. but like at the age of 13, I was, for all intents and purposes, an adult.
Right, my mama had to know worked. How to cook. Yeah. You had to wash your own clothes. You had to get yourself together
right.
for school. Yet, you know, you had to go come home from school,
get a and job. Get,
right, you know, try to get some money so that you could have stuff for school because your mom was out there trying to do it all. Now, I myself was actually the reverse of that. I lived in a two-parent home. You know, I had, and let me tell you, people think, okay, living in a two-parent home is the greatest thing in the world. You know, we fell down the rabbit hole, but to finish this.
Yeah, we'll wrap it up here.
Yeah, but to finish this, not everything that it is cracked up to be. Because you can have issues and problems while growing up in a two-parent household.
Yeah.
But to go back to this whole palimony thing, for me, it's all about equity. Like, and that is, excuse me, that more often than not is the theory under which courts will allow unmarried cohabitating people to get or cohabitating unmarried person to receive some sort of monetary stipend because it, like I said, equitable. It's equity. It's like I did X, Y, and Z. You promised X, Y, and Z. And so let's be fair. You know, it's all about fairness.
My closing thought is when it comes to communication between men and women, men will tell you, like I said at the top of the show, we will tell you anything and we pulling shit out. I'll give you the sun, moon, and the stars, blah, blah, blah. This, we will tell you anything. And ladies, remember that. I'm sure you know that, but we will tell you anything to get you to either come home with us, to even if it's a one night stand type of situation.
But this is more than one night stand.
Right, right. Though. But what I'm saying is, again, we will fucking tell you anything.
But then you do it. That's
no, that's not our intent. No, we don't intend on actually doing
it. But that's the thing. In these particular cases, when we're talking, when in the framework of palimony in a palimony suit, you promise and you actually deliver. It's after we are no longer together. Now, so what I promised you that, like you said, I did it while we were together. Why have to do it now?
I always have an out. I'm mentally ill.
You know what? Jay, your thoughts. So Dan said, no, that should not be any sort of palimony. Like if you're not married after the relationship, even though you've been in a long-term relationship, after that, I should not be obligated to give you anything. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I'm along with him. I don't believe if we're not together, then she or him should not get any money because we're no longer. I took care of you while we were together. So now that we're apart, I don't feel like I'm obligated to do for you.
Man, y'all dumb. Anyway.
Wait, how are we dumb?
Because y'all dumb.
So you saying you and your dude together, he doing everything he said he was going to do. When y'all part y'all separate ways, he still have to do for you till you get back on your feet?
Depending on the circumstances. And
let's flip that.
Talking about
that,
me?
Yeah, let's flip like, that. Let's use your situation.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you're the one taking care of uh-huh. your man uh-huh. talking about, yeah, I'm going to take care uh-huh. of you.
You're not going
to
do it.
And what you have to do is, this is what I say. So I'm going to go out to work and you're going to be a Mr. Mom. So you're staying at home to take care of the kids. You're going to take care of the house. You're going to provide all the functions of a husband and father. Stay at home. And so years pass by. We have these kids. You're doing your part. I'm doing my part. I'm climbing up the corporate ladder. I'm caking it.
Instead, men at home with the kids.
Exactly. I'm making all sorts of money. Your only source of income is me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I meet Denzel Washington.
No, you meet Gail.
I meet Denzel
you meet
Washington.
Gail.
I meet Denzel Washington, and Denzel says, "Hey, girl, come over here." And I go, "All right, Denzel."
Nah, you Gail.
No,
because you got Stedman at home. Nah, so now bruh. You with Gail.
So
okay.
Here it is. I'm like, okay, I'm done with you. And so give me my kids because you ain't got no job. And guess what? After I kick you out, you ain't got no house. I'm going to let you have the clothes that I bought you. So go on about your, look, that car That's mine too, because I bought that.
So you would pay. You would pay Stedman.
I am saying this. If I
willingly,
if I put this person, see, you know, and it's all about equity. If I put this person in a position where they are fully reliant upon me for their welfare, if I have put them in a position where they don't have a job, they're living in a house that I pay for, they're driving a vehicle that I purchased and paid for.
Let me tell you something. People, and as much as I'm sure you would like to think that you're not, people are emotional. So sometimes
we are extremely.
Our emotions will defy all logic. So you sitting here saying, yeah,
no,
I got
no, wait, no, wait, no, wait, wait. No, this
Stedman,
is what I'm saying.
Stedman, yeah,
no.
I got you. But you come home and Stedman got 2 half naked strippers running around the house.
Stedman going, but you know what?
You still paying?
But let me tell you.
You still going to pay for them?
Not unless the court tells me to. See, there's a difference in that scenario. If I am at fault, I still would probably buck at paying, but I can see where, as I said, I can see where the court would, if the court said pay him, I wouldn't feel, now I would fight. All honestly, I would fight. I'd be like, shit, we not just laying down and doing this. We go fight now. We talk about court intervention. If we could sit down rationally with our lawyers and come to some sort of agreement that I believe is fair, sure.
That he believes is fair as well?
Yeah, that's okay. What I said. Some sort of agreement, and we go say, all right, you get this and I get that, because, you know, we got a joint bank account and I'm going to let you have this much. See, I believe in paying lump sums. I don't believe.
I would agree with that too.
So let me give you this lump sum and you go about your business. That's it.
Yo, real quick too, because we running over time here. But this nigga calling my phone. K-Fed.
What about him?
You know, Britney Spears was the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. She was providing for his lifestyle. Mm-hmm. How'd he get the kids? Not only did he get the kids, he got millions
child
upon
support,
millions
and,
upon millions of dollars.
And you know how
dollars.
That happened?
Well,
Britney,
that bitch was crazy, but yeah.
1, 2, she was touring. So who was actually taking care of the kids?
She
now, they had a nanny. But she wasn't taking care of the kids. He had more involvement in the children's lives. Because didn't he like wind up with the nanny for a minute?
I don't know.
Or something like that. But anyway, so.
Becky would know.
Becky.
Did K-Fed. Okay.
So anyway, I think, you know who would know?
Me.
Exactly right. But I think that, well, in that particular case, what I can remember, he was the one who was taking care of the kids with the help of a nanny and whatever. He was the main provider of comfort, the main provider of everything for the kids except money. She was providing the money. He ain't had nothing. So in the end, now you got to pay me child support and alimony. Because I had nothing. I put my career on the side to take care of our kids and the house and everything else. So, she had to pay that man.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Black Law and Legalize. And as per every week, we appreciate every listen. And we really love the death threats that you guys send in. And keep them coming. My name is Dan. Keep up with me on Twitter and IG at I am Dan on Drugs. Follow the show, all platforms, Black Law Podcast.
Yeah, and you know what? This is what I know. You're right. I do love the death threats because that means that I'm touching a nerve, and that is what I have been placed on this earth to do. I am just Ann, and you can follow me at I Tell Legal Lies on Twitter. And we love having guests. And I got to say, Killer Baby J, she's one of my favorite dudes. I love to have her on the show, even though she didn't speak much. And of course, like the millennial she is, that phone is in her hand constantly.
See, I told you, and I don't identify with
like you
my
can't,
millennials.
You can't detach? You were feeling separation anxiety? Because the whole time is like was right there. But you was like, man, I see the little beep. The little light was going off. You just couldn't stop.
See what happened was?
Somebody was talking to me.
Anyway, so say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people. I'm Killer Baby G.
Peace out.
Wait, how did I get the killer part?